You're listening to Leaf Filter Radio, and the guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Counihan, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody, Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have leaf filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A leaf filter trusted pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install leaf filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, leaf filter trusted pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/day to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/day for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.
Let's go to another part of the world where there's some serious conversations being had on some serious matters around the world. The Italian Prime Minister is guest at the White House today, so let's head to Washington, D.C. and bring Simon Marks in our conversation. Any particular policy matters they want to address together, Simon?
Well, it's definitely going to be Ukraine, I think, that tops the agenda for this meeting, with the United States once again, Martin, eager to demonstrate that the US and its various allies on the other side of the Atlantic are united in continuing to do whatever it takes to push back against Russian aggression in Ukraine. So Mario Draghi will be the guest of President Biden at the White House this afternoon. We're in for a bit of an international week here because on Thursday, the US will be hosting an ASEAN summit, the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, which again will focus to some degree on the crisis in Ukraine, but will also more broadly provide President Biden with an opportunity, he hopes, to demonstrate that the United States and the members of ASEAN, sprinkled as they are across Southeast Asia, are forging a much stronger relationship, that the US is putting renewed focus on the Asia-Pacific region in contrast to the Trump administration that preceded it. And of course, the United States wants to do that and demonstrate that in order to push back against China's rising influence in the region. So that's going to be the focus for a little bit later in the week. And we just learned this morning that on Friday, Jordan's King Abdullah is going to be the guest of President Biden at the White House. So it's turning into international week here, but all of that redolent of the fact that there's a lot going on overseas. And President Biden wants to communicate messages, particularly in the direction of Russia and China. But I think also with regard to Jordan, it's going to be interesting to see if they touch on the decision by President Bashar al-Assad of Syria to travel to Iran earlier over the weekend. I mean, that raised eyebrows here. His second outing from Damascus following his visit to the United Arab Emirates a few weeks ago that the Americans weren't too thrilled to see. I mean, anytime you see President Bashar al-Assad of Syria, you can't help but be reminded of the fact that he is a leader who has clung on to power in Damascus despite very clear evidence that war crimes have been committed in Syria, and despite the fact that he and his government have been absolutely sanctioned to the max by the United States. So where Syrian President Bashar al-Assad has been able to ride out some of those measures that the United States has implemented against him, one has to wonder whether Russian President Vladimir Putin might similarly be able to echo that experience. So lots of international issues on the agenda, but many of them, of course, absolutely tied back to the Russian invasion of Ukraine.
We're being told that is going to go on the attack with a category of human being he calls Ultra MAGA, or Make America Great Again, I guess. Now tell us about these individuals.
This phrase, I suspect, again and again, unless the White House rethinks the decision to use it, what he's trying to do is suggest that the Republican Party has been dragged so far to the right by former President Donald Trump, who of course remains still the dominant figure in Republican politics, that it is now not just the Make America Great Again Party, the MAGA Party, but the Ultra MAGA Party. And there is something known here in Washington as the Ultra MAGA MAGA agenda that has been forged by Senator Rick Scott of Florida, who chairs the National Republican Senatorial Committee, but who himself was pretty to the right even before Donald Trump came along and sort of codified that into the lifeblood of the Republican Party. He is proposing plans to raise taxes on 75 million Americans and to require every law, including Social Security and Medicare, to be reauthorized every 5 years by Congress. The point of that being that the Make America Great Again crowd are, of course, skeptical about the ability of government to deliver to the American people. And so they want the ability every 5 years to scrutinize laws that are absolutely at the bedrock of America's social policy, particularly Social Security and Medicare. I mean, Social Security is the American equivalent of the state pension, and Medicare is as close as this country has ever got to state-backed medical services. So President Biden is hoping to describe this agenda as in extremist terms and to use it as a tool to try and get Democrats to turn out at the polls this November in those crucial midterm elections that we keep talking about. I mean, he made a speech last week in which he once again expressed sort of consternation at how far the Republican Party has shifted to the right. He called them the most extreme political organization that's existed in recent American history. Let's see if he repeats that kind of language today. All of this, however, comes as no great surprise to many observers here in Washington, but it ought to come as a bit of a surprise to Joe Biden, because the same Joe Biden, when he was campaigning for the presidency in 2019, insisted that he uniquely was going to be able to work with the Republican Party. He was going to head up to Capitol Hill, and we were going to return to the days of cozy deals being done behind the scenes by Republicans and Democrats, because he understood the way in which the Senate worked. Well, it turns out that having got into power, he's suddenly had a rethink about where the Republican Party actually is heading. And there is a concession in what he's saying, which is that, in fact, he was wrong in 2019 and 2020. It isn't actually possible to work together and forge deals as it was in the 60s, 70s and 80s when his political career
things
was in
have
its
just
nascent
changed
stage.
Forever, haven't
yes,
they,
completely.
I guess the whole Trump thing has changed the dynamic, I guess. And thinking about things that are changing, I'm aware that the abortion issue, of course, is very much a current one. I hadn't seen that people were actually camping out outside the homes of the Supreme Court justices. That's taking demonstrations to another level, isn't it?
Well, it is taking demonstrations to another level, and it's got pretty ugly outside the house of Brett Kavanaugh, one of the Supreme Court justices, of course, appointed by former President Donald Trump. Also outside the home of Chief Justice John Roberts. I mean, even though he wasn't signed on to that draft opinion on abortion that we saw, nonetheless, abortion rights protesters believe that in some magical way he's got the power to try and head that opinion off, even though he doesn't. If the majority of Supreme Court justices favor it, there's not much that even a Republican moderate like John Roberts is going to be able to do meaningfully to dilute where it heads. This series of protests has been rebuked by the White House, who say that they believe, of course, in the right to peaceful and lawful assembly, but that Supreme Court justices, regardless of their political backgrounds and legal viewpoints, have to be able to go about their work without fear for their personal safety. There are calls in Congress for protection to be stepped up for members of the Supreme Court. There was a move last night in the Senate that was agreed by unanimous consent to beef up security at the Supreme Court. We've seen a big fence put up over the weekend that now encircles the building. All of this as the Senate prepares on Wednesday to participate in what is going to be a futile vote to try and enshrine abortion rights protections into federal law. As we discussed yesterday, there is no prospect whatsoever of that passing, but it does again indicate that this is going to be the hot political issue going into November, although some political analysts argue inflation actually is a hotter political issue on the doorstep. So it can be very interesting to keep tabs on all of that as we hurtle towards the midterms.
Simon Marks, thank you very much indeed with that live update from Washington, D.C.